Recording.
Okay, Slate. 3, 2, 1. Noise. Okay, hello, welcome back. Happy birthday to
Happy birthday
to you.
Stop it. You better stop
Happy
it.
Happy birthday.
Okay, we get it.
I'm singing to the podcast. I'm not singing to you.
I know you were. Yeah. All right. Well, welcome back to episode 30 of This Isn't Therapy, which is a podcast all about therapy, which is so funny because you wouldn't think that with the name.
No.
You'd think it was about something else, like farm animals or something.
Or like the best ways to ride a giraffe. Delicious desserts.
Delicious desserts. Yeah.
And then the Venn diagram, giraffes.
But it's not therapy. It's not therapy, though.
Absolutely
just
not.
In case anyone's wondering, it is not therapy.
No.
My name is Jake Ernst, and I am a therapist, funny enough. How that works, right? And I am one of the hosts of this podcast.
And my name is Simon Palak. I am a filmmaker in Toronto. And yeah, I'm the other hostess with the mostess. We just have this fun little podcast where we just talk things mental health. And today's episode, which is really fun, it's kind of like a sibling episode to episode 29, which we talked about resolutions. But in episode 30 today, we're going to be talking about forming new habits. Now, Jake Ernst, MSW, certified. Can you tell me, what is a habit?
That lead-in was just expert level. That was like Oprah Winfrey level of a lead-in there for me. If we zoom out for a second, part of the reason why we wanted to do an episode about habits is also because when people are setting resolutions, oftentimes they're also presenting it as sort of like, I want to build a new habit, right? And so in our last discussion, we were sort of saying like, you know, resolutions are actually really hard to keep up. And part of the reason is because habits are also really hard to keep up. And so a habit, and this is actually a definition that we pulled just from Oxford Dictionary. And the dictionary herself.
Not according to my research.
The dictionary herself says that a habit is a settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that is hard to give up. And I think it's so funny that literally like that notion of being hard to give it up is built right into the definition of a habit. Which is funny because it actually maps on really well with this other definition that we pulled from the American Journal of Psychology. And they have to say that a habit is a routine of behavior that is repeated regularly and tends to occur subconsciously. So really what that means is that habits are, in fact, habitual. Means that they're just automatic. We do them without thinking. And so they're kind of marked with this notion of automaticity is what it's called.
Holy shit.
Automaticity, which means, please welcome to the stage, automaticity.
Yeah, right? What's her name? What is she all about?
So automaticity comes to the stage, and she basically just means that like you do it over and over and over again, that it becomes so automatic. And so these are the types of habits like brushing your teeth, like making your bed in the morning, having a coffee when you wake up. Those are some of like the morning habits that you may fall into, and the collection of all those habits together is your routine.
Not all habits are bad habits that lead to late nights dancing alone.
Baby.
Meeting strangers.
Those are bad habits. You know the Ed Sheeran song, Bad Habit?
Yeah, that's literally
about.
Jacob Ernst, this is your second time in two episodes where you're just like right behind the curve, where you're just like...
Simon, I knew what you were doing. I was closing the gap for the audience members, the lovely listeners, okay?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I was doing my job here. Letting the lovely listeners in on the joke.
Gotcha. Okay.
So now who's
my bad?
Okay, yeah.
The egg is on my face. Understood.
That's your worst habit. The egg is just always on your face. And so, but the, here, okay, so here's the good news. You may be kind of listening, thinking like, okay, so habits can be good and bad. If you speak in binary, that means they're either good or bad.
Okay.
But we know that there are like habits are just habits. Habits are behaviors, repeated behaviors that we do all the time. I think the number is something like 50 to 60% of all the behaviors that we do during the day are habitual behaviors. So they're like common things that we do all the time. And so if you're kind of listening and wondering like, oh shoot, I have a lot of bad habits, or oh shoot, I have a lot of tendencies that I don't necessarily enjoy or like about myself. Mm-hmm. The good news is that we are able to change. Our brains are plastic, which means that they are able to grow and change in the face of a new environment or in the face of new information. So the good news with forming a new habit is that they can change. They can change.
Okay, so that's kind of like the forming our conversations today, because we have two lovely listeners who have submitted two lovely stories. We're going to read them, and we're just going to kind of talk about that. Forming new habits, and we're not talking about like, you know, sister act habits, like, oh, she's back in the habit, you know, sister act two.
How many jokes did you prepare for this episode?
Net zero. These are all popping into my head as I'm talking. Like, I just have Whoopi Goldberg. Just
oh, I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to just take a quick little jaunt and we're going to be right back. So I have the first story for us. I'm bringing it to you live on the air.
Ooh.
And this is one that I am calling 5 to 10 pages.
5 to 10 pages.
Five to 10 pages. Yeah.
Five to ten.
It's a very minimal 5 to 10. Okay. So this, the story goes like this. One of the things that I wanted to do this year was to read more, but I'm already so buried in my work that I suddenly don't have any time to do something as simple as read a book for fun. Mm. I can't even read 5 to 10 pages. There's the title.
There you go.
I can't even read 5 to 10 pages without feeling like a guilty potato. Their words, not mine.
Yes.
But I love it. I have so many things demanding my time and attention that my self-care has gone completely out the window. And that's the story. And, you know, part of kind of what it brings up for me is this kind of notion of even small habits, even little things that we want to do for ourselves can be so hard to do. They can be so hard to kind of pick back up, you know, once, I don't know, I just think about all the habits that I've had in the past and all like the routines and behaviors that I've been a part of, and I'm finding them so difficult to even get back into them now. That's like, I can't even enjoy, like, you know, some of the good habits that I have had previously, right? So for me, the framing of this conversation, this is kind of my Jake's takes, because I realized I took the floor right out of the story. And it's really my kind of initial thinking around it is that either we're talking about making habits or breaking habits. And for a lot of people, it's about making habits, which can be really hard. And also, we also want to be probably breaking some bad habits too. So that's sort of like how I frame in my mind, like when we're talking about habits just in general, like either we're going to form new ones or we're going to break old patterns.
So. Right. And for this one, it sounds like they're trying to make new habits, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to make more time to read for fun. And I can imagine the frustration. Well, you can see it, right? Like they feel like a guilty potato for taking, again, their words, not ours. But I'm going to steal that.
Yeah. Oh, it's mine now. It is mine now.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
And here's part of the reason why I brought up the breaking of old habits, because obviously on the surface, this person is probably trying to start and make a new habit.
Yeah.
But I also think on the flip side, I also hear they're also trying to break habits of work or break ties to other things that pull their attention. Right. And so I think I sort of see it as like this double-edged sword, or like both sides of the same coin, which is that in order to make new habits, you also probably are going to be breaking other habits simultaneously. And that's, I think, why it's so complex for people.
I think even to just hearing it, like, how is there something here? And I'm just reaching. I'm reaching into the dark. Is there something here sort of about like our comfort level and how like habits, like our body kind of, you know, you were talking about like brushing your teeth and all of these things, like some of these things we don't even think about anymore. So if we're just used to working all the time, for example, I can imagine that there's a certain level of mobilization that comes with constantly being on and constantly be working. So to do the opposite, where just like, just slow down, sit still, and just focus your attention on reading something that feels completely luxurious, like reading a book, can feel so difficult. Now, is that,
you know what it,
is that
normal?
What
it is? It's not only normal, actually, but it's like completely built within us, right? I was talking about in the last episode how our brains and bodies are just so resistant to change.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we can still change. So, you know, I think more than, you know, here's what it is. I think that when, in this day and age especially, we are just so flooded with dopamine to the level that it becomes really hard for us to actually slow down, like you were saying,
mm-hmm.
or so difficult for us to even just like de-stress, or even just to like be bored or be still, or
yes.
even just like watch TV without double, like multitasking on our phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so really, in addition to what you were saying, I think the really big challenge is the dopamine pull, is the pull that sort of says like right now in today's society, we are just so flooded with dopamine. Everywhere you look, there's like funny videos competing for attention, notifications on your phone, the endless 24-hour news cycle, dopamine, 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 high doses of dopamine, just really hard hitting. And so I know I'm using this really scientific term of dopamine.
Yeah. Say it one more time. Say dopamine.
Dopamine. Yeah, I even got tongue twisted. I was saying, I know I'm using this scientific term of dopamine, but dopamine really is the chemical, and this is actually what made me think about it. It's the chemical that's responsible for our motivation. It's the one that gets us up and gets us moving and gets us doing things.
Mm.
And so maybe more importantly than motivation as well, dopamine helps us with desire. Like it helps us like crave things. So dopamine is actually known to be one of the most addictive of those happiness chemicals, let's say.
Right.
And so
question. And we don't have an endless well of dopamine. So like, does our body have a limit until it's like, okay, danger zone, stop?
Oh, so such a good question. Really, actually, our brains actually prioritize and crave and prefer the activities that are going to get us the most short-term pleasure in the quickest amount of time.
Mm.
And we are going to go for the ones that give us that biggest dopamine hit. And you know, fascinating enough, according to like the actual research, this is proven, the ones that our brains like the most are the ones that are random. So think about a habit is like habitual, it's like predictable, consistent, like structured. Dopamine loves like slot machine style of hits. It's like, give me something random, give me something good, give me something funny. This is why TikTok, social media, Instagram,
right,
that's why these work. That's why video games are designed to be addictive.
Okay. Even like cartoons or like for kids and stuff, like how there's the... You know what? Even for adults too, like I can think, imagine like the monotony of our day, especially in the era that we've been in for the last 2 years. But just like, you know, we're not getting that. We're not getting our varied social interactions. We're not going to this work event. We're not doing this fun recreational activity. We're not gathering weekly with our friends to watch Drag Race, you know?
Ugh,
right?
Pain.
Like,
that's
pain.
That's pain.
So that's pain. Episode 31, pain.
Pain. Social pain.
Right? But just to sort of like bring this story home, just sort of thinking of like, okay, so what do we do with that? It sounds like, and I think I brought up this point before, it sounds like our bodies and our minds and all of these things are like setting us up to fail sometimes, because it's like our bodies crave dopamine, but the things that require us to get those dopamines is random. But then we need habits and routines. But then when we want to create habits and routines, like we're fighting with that part of our brain that wants like randomness. And you're like, but no, I want this new healthy habit. Like, what the fuck are we supposed to do? Like, you're in competition with yourself constantly.
So let me tell you what we're supposed to do.
Okay.
We are, okay, dopamine.
Yeah.
Short-term pleasure.
Serotonin.
Serotonin. Please welcome to the stage. Serotonin.
Okay.
So serotonin.
Yeah.
She is responsible for long-term satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Okay.
So they're a little bit in contrast with one another, where dopamine is addictive. Serotonin is not addictive.
Why?
So, I know.
Whoever designed humans, one of our many fatal flaws.
So many people think that serotonin is just meant to keep us happy, but it's actually meant to stabilize us. So think about reading five to 10 pages of a book. That's a serotonin release activity. That's a very low dopamine activity. Whereas our bodies, like, give me that dopamine. I picture kind of like a little like devil on your shoulder. That's like, give me more dopamine. I need them in short bursts, short-term hits. That's what's going to keep me functioning.
Yeah. Like sugar cereal.
Exactly. So if we think about like other like high release dopamine activities, we can think of like video games, scrolling social media, eating party foods. So like any other kind of foods that are just like generally unhealthy for you. Masturbation, also high dopamine activity.
Okay.
Think about like serotonin. So like maybe, or actually let's think of maybe low dopamine activities. Things like going for a walk, meditation, journaling. The reasons why they're lower in dopamine is because they're a bit higher in serotonin. And so anything that stabilizes us or relaxes us, working out, for example, is a low dopamine activity, higher in serotonin.
But it sounds
so
there's
a science here, is my point.
Yeah, and it sounds like the serotonin activities are actually the ones that help us in the long term, that create, like you said, like a stabilized... I mean, you just even saying that, I'm like, wait, through these... low dopamine activities, are those, is that habit forming? Okay, I'm having a lot of like do 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 do, so many dopamines going off based off of this conversation. I'm thinking, like, is it possible then what's happening in this story then is Sarah, Miss Serotonin, is fighting against her evil sister, well, not evil, but whatever, in this scenario she is, the dopamine. Because the dopamine hit is what your brain is craving. But what serotonin is telling us is like, let's take some time to do these low impact activities. And eventually, is the goal like dopamine, will she just get bored and like go away and allow me to read those 5 to 10 pages if I just stick to it? Is that the...
You know, this is such a good conversation and I'm so excited about it, because what we actually need more of is lower dopamine release activities. And any health professional will tell you this. These fall into the category of things that we recommend to people all the time. And at the very same time, I think what we really need to do is be aware of our dopamine tolerance. So when you have a high dopamine tolerance, that means that you can engage in things like really addictive forms of like, so anything like an addictive behavior, of course, but even things like social media, like video games, just like binging TV shows, is all just like dopamine hit, dopamine hit, dopamine hit. And what we actually need more of is more dopamine detox. We need to detox coming at you with the slow verse. We need dopamine detox stat. Like if you're listening to this being like, okay, well, Jake, what do I do? How can I do it? I'm going to give you a tip. And this is something I did the other day, and it was amazing for my mental health, Simon.
Did you take a bath?
It felt so good. So that is a low dopamine exercise. Okay. But I'm gonna push people to go one step further. Okay. I'm gonna challenge people. I want you to go one
streaking in a fountain. What? One, sorry.
I want you to go one full day.
Yeah.
Of only low dopamine release activities. So that means this is what the day looks like.
Okay.
No phone.
Mm-hmm.
No social media, obviously. No TV, no video games, no masturbation, no eating party foods. So we are saying like really low impact dopamine release. I will have you know, I came out of that day feeling so clear and so like ready to take on the next day. It was just so good. It's a dopamine detox, baby. Yeah.
Coming at you with the slow verse. Speed it up.
So good.
Then we're going to slow it down. Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's move on to segment two. I'm just making so many like fun little connections as we're talking, and hopefully we can talk about those things in segment two, because, oh boy, I love it. I love how scientific-y this is. This makes it feel like a real grounded conversation, which I love. Anyway, sorry, question. What's masturbation?
I'm still laughing. Yeah, I'm still laughing from that joke. That was good.
Masturbation. I'll look it up later.
Segment two coming at you.
Segment two. Yeah, so this one I am calling goalless. Going goalless. So the story starts like this. I'm not good at sticking to goals or things of the sort. So instead, I'm going goalless. I'm not starting any new diet. I'm not hopping on any new trend. I'm not doing any health challenges. I'm just going to do me. So far, it's working, and I've had the healthiest start of the new year I've had in a while. It's funny because I don't hate myself as much. I always get so hard on myself when I do these things. Every day is a new day. Oh, man. I wish I could have done that. I wish I could be this person.
Wow. Wow. You know, that hits me in a very special place because I think if I really read into it, and maybe just using some of the science we just talked about, if I read into this, this is someone who's like, I am so flooded by all these possibilities and so many, like, you know, fad new diets or anything like pop psychology or Instagram therapy like has to tell me. I'm just like, I'm ready for a break and I'm ready for something that's actually going to help me and not something that I'm just supposed to do. So number one, thank you for the person that shared this. And number two, I think that's great. That's awesome. The second thing that I will add though, is that even when you are going goalless, you still have things that you're doing and working on. Right. And so, I hear this sentiment and I hear this sort of notion of like, I'm releasing it all. And I also, you know, I also just caution us to balance that with, well, you still have habits when you're not forming a habit, right? You still have routines when you're not like intentionally building routines.
Right.
So usually the ones that we fall back to are the ones that were modeled for us or the ones that are just like giving us the highest dopamine, right? So it's fine to not have any goals and resolutions and habits to form. That's fine. I totally agree that we don't always need to be in like optimization mode, but I wonder, okay, well then what do your habits and things look like?
To me, it almost like you saying that, I almost think of like, you know, the habit is the, like the anti-habit is like, okay, I'm not going to buy into any new like diet or health challenges. Well, that to me, it's almost like you need like a remedy habit to like protect yourself from buying into that habit. So I'm like, that's a habit, the habit to knock it in the new habit. Sidebar, I don't know if you can hear this, but my dog Valley is like chewing away on a bone. So if you hear like gross chewy sounds, okay, just for the listeners out there, that's my dog. You can direct all complaints to Valley at iamasnoozypup@gmail.com.
It's really, and I hear you though when you say that, which is what we referenced before, which is this is the other side of the coin, which is that even when you're not building and forming and desiring new habits, there are also still things though that are in your life that that can still crop up, right, and still kind of hinder you in terms of any sort of resolution you want to make anyway. So it is sort of what you said around the anti-habit for sure.
You know what I think about? I just thought of this right now. It's sort of like thinking in like my own therapy journey when I'm talking to my therapist and we're kind of talking about like some sort of like habits that we, you know, we get into. And one of the things I remember is pointing out to them being like, once we realize that, you know, like a certain like mechanism or a way of thinking or a way of approaching a situation was a habit, my follow-up was like, well, what am I supposed to do now? Like, you want me to let go of the monkey bar, but I'm like, and then I have to reach for something that I have no idea is going to be able to sustain my weight. And you want me to let go of this other monkey bar. And I'm supposed to just do that. And I just remember feeling how difficult that was. And one of the things they said was kind of like, no, like, hold on, have the monkey bar, but also know that you have another monkey bar that you can hold on to, kind of thing. So I don't know. That's just something that popped into my head. What do you think about that?
It certainly speaks to our notion or our need for like structure and certainty.
Yeah.
Right. Like when we, or like really safety and stabilization, when we don't have much safety and stabilization available to us throughout a goal or a habit that we want to kind of put in place.
Right.
Usually in order to add that sort of structure for people, usually I guide people towards splitting it up into two different types of habits or goals. So we kind of have our identity-based habits, and then we also have our goal-based habits. So an identity-based habit is one where you're looking at, this is the person that I want to become. This is the person that I maybe know myself to be. And so these are the habits that align with that, with being that person. Whereas a goal-based habit is like, this is the outcome that I want to achieve. This is something that I want to do. This is something that I want to implement into my life. And so it's just sort of a way of getting clear on like what type of habit you're actually trying to build. And so, for example, if we take the actual notion of starting a fitness routine or sort of adopting a healthier lifestyle with movement, an identity-based habit would be something like, I want to be someone who runs every day, or I want to be someone who can lift like 200 pounds.
Right.
A goal-based habit, a goal-based habit would be something like, I'm going to run 3 times a week. That's a goal-based habit.
Interesting.
Whereas an identity-based habit is, I want to be someone who's a runner.
And so do you, is one better than the other? And, or do you need both at the same time?
We, in terms of like the rates of failure, I would say that goal-based habits often lead to less favorable outcomes. The ones that seem to stick, the habits that stick the most, are identity-based habits.
Okay.
And specifically, identity-based habits around identity markers that are actually achievable. So if I'm sort of sitting here and I'm making a financial habit for myself and I'm like, I want to be a rich person. Unfortunately, Gwen Stefani, that is not necessarily going to get you where you want unless you actually implement the things that are going to get you towards that habit, right? And so it's about being realistic and also really planning for the context of your environment. And so more than anything, one of the biggest setbacks that people experience, regardless of whether it's a goal-based or identity-based kind of habit, the biggest setback that people experience is something called friction. And so friction? Wait, what was your reaction?
It's like we're... And I don't stop, but I'm just like, wow, we're learning so many terms today. Like today, this episode is like serotonin, dopamine, like identity friction. Habits, friction. Like, tell me about friction. What's her name? This is just like a good old gaggle of just some nice, mentally healthy, habity terms. So
this
tell
is
me more.
This is the Brady Bunch. Yeah. Okay. I'm educating today.
You really are.
I'm professing
Jakey.
Yeah, I'm professing. And so friction is basically one of those big sort of setbacks that we experience in the emotional sort of state of the emotional realm. So friction just sort of is meant to describe the emotions that get in our way. So things like stress gets in our way, anxiety gets in our way. Mm-hmm. Or maybe on the other end of the spectrum, maybe like feeling frozen, feeling stuck, feeling numb. We know that when a habit has more friction attached to it, then it's just harder to implement. It's harder to achieve. And so the goal is to reduce the friction is really the point of me bringing up the word friction.
And how do you lubricate the scenario? So there's less, are you lube up? So that there's less friction.
You know, so number one, the best way to do is you need to have a plan. You need to actually have a plan in place in order to anticipate some of the friction that you may experience. Sometimes friction just crops up and sometimes it just kind of comes out of the blue and then you deal with it. But the best way to sort of move forward is to have a plan. And one of the most popular tips in this kind of realm is around this notion of breaking habits down into really small bite-sized chunks. So just making the habit as small as possible. So for example, if the habit that you're trying to form is something like brushing your teeth, you're going to break it down even smaller. And this is actually used for a lot of clients with depression as well. This is just a really great way to activate new behaviors called behavioral activation. So let's say, for example,
There we go. There's another one.
More words.
More words are happening.
Words are happening today. So an example of that would be to break it down into really small chunks. So if you're starting the habit of brushing your teeth, yeah. you would say, okay, you're going to sit up in your bed. Then you're going to get out of bed. Then you're going to walk to the bathroom.
Oh, okay. Then you're so going to literally step by step, break it down. Okay.
Step by step by step. And so part of what happens when, and I'll blow it to kind of the extreme. When people do have depression, they just have a really decreased desire, right? And so mm-hmm. decrease in motivation. And so that's why this sort of a habit building tip is helpful for people with depression, right? Because when you have depression, your desire is really low and your ability to actually break things into steps is impaired. You have,
right.
It's harder for you to sort of see the things in nuance. And so when you break it down, sometimes even just sort of clicking of like, oh my goodness, right, of course I need to break it down. Let me do step one first before I step 10, which is to actually put toothpaste on my toothbrush. And so breaking things down into smaller steps can be helpful. That can
and
be
what
really
happens,
helpful for people.
What happens if you can only do step 1 to 5, for example? Is that, do you just sort of say like, great, I got to 5 today. Tomorrow I'll try to get to 6. If
then,
not, that's okay.
Progress is progress.
Okay.
Step one, ideally you'd probably keep it below like 6 steps.
Right.
I think you want to anticipate some of the friction that you'll experience doing those tasks, doing those mm-hmm. steps. And if there's friction at every single step, then you need to break it down even smaller, right? So if you are on step one, which is like, I need to get my feet out of bed, then mm-hmm. that's the habit. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to break it down as small as possible, mm-hmm. which is that like, maybe you just need to tune in. Okay, what is like frozen feel like? Okay, how can mm-hmm. I become less frozen? And so then you break it down into smaller steps that sort of say, this is how I do what I need to do. And so, of course, that's a more clinical, that's like a therapy example. But if yeah. you're thinking about building habits just in general, you want to try to plan for some of the friction that you're going to experience and breaking into steps. And the last thing that I'll say is just even just visualizing the steps. So not necessarily doing the steps can also be really helpful too ahead of time. So visualizing the steps, so like, okay, I need to get up. I need to go and get my running shoes on. I need to put on my hats and gloves and I'm going to go for a run. Just simply visualizing what steps you need to take can also right. help you on your way to building a habit too.
Okay. Yeah. And I can see how that, like that sort of methodology can apply to goal making too, right? Like if we're using the running example, it's like, you know, maybe even just like buying new running shoes can be like.
I did that. I just did that.
Me too.
Because I'm going to be a runner. I'm going to start running.
Oh, is that why you did it? Okay. I also, yeah. Oh, okay. I did very similar things.
Oh my god!
I got orthotics and everything.
So did I. Simon.
Oh my god!
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Where did
we're
you
both
go to?
We're both gonna become runners.
Jogging Judy's.
You and I.
Jogging Judy's.
And so actually, here's the last thing I'll add, just to kind of close us up full circle here.
Okay.
What we want to do, and another way that we can really cement our habits is by rewarding ourselves. And so if you think about all those high dopamine activities that I was talking about before. What we want to try to do is transform those typically right now low dopamine kind of tasks
right.
and move them into the high dopamine category. So we want to get to the point where...
Like drag and drop? How do you do that?
Yes. Well, where we want to get to the point where like reading a book actually gives us a lot of dopamine. We want to get to the point where like going for a run like actually fuels us and gives us a lot of dopamine.
And how do we get there?
So what we do is we have to reward ourselves with the correct thing. So in order to, what I would suggest to people is moving, if you write a list of everything in your life right now that is high dopamine release category, low dopamine release category,
right?
All those high dopamine release activities now become your rewards. You're going to work towards those. You're going to reward yourself for doing those later. So if you want to play video games,
you got to go for a run first.
Great. If you want to play video games, awesome. You're not going to sit in bed all day. You're going to go and work for it.
Oh.
So those are the types of things that like when like they become typically addictive,
yeah.
they now become treats and rewards that help you cement the habits that you're trying to build. So
the carrot in front of the donkey.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's not meant to be manipulative, right? It's not meant to be like, you know, the gummy bear at the end of every line in the textbook that you read.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like an honest and genuine process. It's supposed to be like, I'm going to do 1 hour of this low dopamine activity to like this 15 minutes of high dopamine release.
Right.
And so this is really hard to implement. I know that's sort of a rule of thumb, but if you're thinking about like the hours that we lose to scrolling on social media, the number one thing that I hear is I don't have time to do things. And I usually sort of say, well, so time is available, darling. Time is available. is available, darling. It just depends how are you spending that time. And if you were to map it out, there's a lot of time lost to the high dopamine category.
But you know what I like about that, Zoling, is that you can still have your cake and eat it
and
too.
Eat her too.
Yes, because you can still like as you're sort of, it's not like a cold turkey situation. It's like as you're developing new habits, right? And as you're sort of like A equals B, so going for a run means I can, you know, I can play video games. I can, you know, reward myself or whatever it is, whatever lingo you want to use. But you know what I mean? I can see how that can be like, it makes the process more enjoyable. And I can imagine that when you're in sort of enjoying the process, you're forming new habits. And then, I don't know, you're making more space for it too, right? Oh my God. Okay. So let's wrap this mother up. Let's move to our final segment. I have a surprise for you because I thought we were going to do something else in our final segment, but you know what? I have something else I want to do in the final segment.
I can't wait. I can't honestly wait.
Okay. And we're back from the dopamine hitting podcast. This is in therapy. So we're going to just wrap this up. Usually what we do is we do something like, you know, aha moments, or like we have a theme and we read a bunch of, we fire off a couple of listener submissions. But we were going to do that. But I have a question for you. I kind of want to know if you have any habits or new goals or anything that you're working towards in 2022. We've been talking about it for two episodes and I want to know. What's cooking good looking?
Wow.
She's 30, she's flirty.
Yeah, new habits. So here's the thing. I actually really related to the second story because I am that person a lot of the time that sort of says, no, I'm not going to feed into the culture of like, new year, new me, I have to do something new. But you know what I actually have started doing is I've actually started taking really seriously, only because I know more about the science behind it. I actually have started taking seriously a couple new things. So I know that when I spend too much time on social media, I feel like complete shit. Like it's just, it's now a non-negotiable for me that I have to set boundaries around my use of social media. I can't spend, and you'll see it in my screen time. Like I have to set really firm boundaries around social media, and I have done that this past year. So I'm super proud of myself for that. I will be keeping up that habit. And part of that is also unfollowing a boatload of people. I've unfollowed a lot of people that just don't make me feel good. I'm only following people that make me feel good. The number two habit that I am doing lately is I've turned off all notifications on my phone altogether. I get no new notices. I only open the apps once a day, and that is when I am using that time. Then the last one is something that I'm trying to take more seriously is movement. I have had like kind of a really hard relationship with movement throughout my life. So I'm trying to be more intentional this year. I'm trying to like really kind of nail down a new kind of like regimen for myself, only because I know it just makes me feel so good when I do it. Yeah. But there's no consistency to it. It's like right now it's very much like slot machine fitness. It's like ding, 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 ding. That made you feel good once. Okay, now don't do that again for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to be more consistent. So I think the habits I am working on, it's actually the main one is consistency.
Nice. Yay.
How about you? How about you, baby boo?
I would say one of them, definitely we have the same one. I also turned off all notifications and it's been lovely. I also like did not go on social media for the whole time that I was off the break. It's so wild that we have to like this tool that was once supposed to thing that was supposed to help us is just notoriously known to just cause all of these horrible things. But even turning off the notifications is one. setting more like I'm trying not to work on weekends. That's a big thing. And also trying to give myself like, you know, it's 6 o'clock, stop working type of thing. Not giving myself a hard date or a hard time, but just kind of being like, hey, it's, can this wait till tomorrow? Like just even kind of having that conversation. So I don't like do a 7 to 7.
I imagine that's really hard for someone who's self-employed, like someone who kind of makes their own schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish it were as flexible. It is very flexible. It's a very like flexible life. But it also, a lot of the thing I wrestle with is if I don't do it, it doesn't get done. Right.
Mm-hmm. There's always work available. Of course.
Yeah. There's no like team of people that I'm like, unless I'm on like a bigger project, for the most part, if I'm not doing something, I don't have someone else to like delegate it to. It's like, I got to do it. So it just doesn't get done. And then, you know, just realizing that when I, for project deliveries and stuff, like don't count weekends as a work day, which is changing. So like a 10-day delivery turnaround on a project, that's 5 working days, baby. That's not 10 consecutive days. So, and even movement stuff, trying to get into a new thing. I was really excited to get back into like rock climbing, but with our locations locked down and stuff like that, I haven't been able to do that. Yeah. But that's something I'm looking forward to because I really loved doing it. And I hope to return to it this year.
Matt and I we did so much of that like last year and kind of like the like beginning like of the fall. It was really nice. We've been wanting to do it more, but the lockdown obviously put a damper on that.
Yes.
Jeez. So. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into this episode. I hope you learned something, and I hope, you know, maybe you have some new insights into a new habit that you want to start, or maybe one that you want to break, which is also really, really hard to do, by the way, to break habits.
Totally.
But that conversation is for another day, baby. So
no, let's have it right now.
Yeah.
Let's just keep going.
You have time, right? Just you pull up a chair.
Yeah, for sure. I don't have a notification that tells me I have a call in 4 minutes. No, not at all.
No, exactly. So, you know, again, you know where to find us, but just for podcast sake, we'll say it again. I'm at MSW Jake.
And I'm at Directed by Simon. And together, we're both at Not a Therapy Podcast. I promise you, we will get into posting sometime in someday. But in the meantime, if you're welcome to follow that page. But thank you so much. Like, subscribe, share with a friend, all that fun stuff. We will catch you on the flip side of 30, which is episode 31, which is going to be another good episode. I say that every single time, but episode 31 is going to be juicy.
Juicy tea. It's juicy,
juicy, juicy, juicy, juicy. All right. Bye.
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 Just had to get the last word in.
This episode, I felt so like, yes, queen, work. Like, too much, Simon. Too much.